personality of Godhead is worshipped with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm not even sure what we're doing here. What's the verse? All right, so 14 has no purport. Is that the idea? Give me a second here. I got to call it up. Well, until the computer comes up, I can read the first verse. Let's see. Continue reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the sixth canto, chapter 12, Brichachura's glorious death, text number 14. Tasmāra kirti yashasur jaya pājaya yorapi sumakṣyātukadukkābhyam mṛtyu jīvatayostatā. Since everything is dependent on the supreme will of the personality of Godhead, one should be equipoised in fame and defamation, victory and defeat, life and death. In their effects, represented as happiness and distress, one should maintain oneself in equilibrium without anxiety. And then, verse on the board. Sattvam rajas tama iti prakritir natmano gunaha tatra sakshinam atmanam yo veda sa na padhyate. Sattvam rajas tama iti prakritir natmano gunaha tatra sakshinam atmanam yo veda sana bhajyate. Sattvam rajas tama iti prakritir natmano gunaha tatra sakshinam atmanam yo veda sana bhajyate. Sattvam rajas tama iti prakritir natmano gunaha tatra sakshinam atmanam yo veda sana bhajyate. Please chant. Sattvam rajas tama iti. Vaishnavis. Sattvam rajas tama iti prakritir natmano gunaha tatra sakshinam atmanam yo veda sana bhajyate. Prakritir natmano gunaha tatra sakshinam atmanam nasana bhajyate. Anyone else? Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Rajaha, the mode of passion. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Iti, thus. Prakritehe, of the material nature. Na, not. Atmanaha, of the spirit soul. Gunaha, the qualities. Tatra, in such a position. Sakshinam, an observer. Atmanam, the self. Yaha, anyone who. Veda, knows. Saha, he. Na, not. Bhajyate, is bound. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are not qualities of the soul, but qualities of material nature, and who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities, should be understood to be a liberated person. He is not bound by these qualities. Please repeat. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are not qualities of the soul, but qualities of material nature. And who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities, should be understood to be a liberated person. He is not bound by these qualities. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As the Lord explains in Bhagavad Gita, 1854, Paramabhuta prasanna atma nashochati nakangshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktin labhate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. When one attains self-realization, the Brahma-Bhuta stage, one who knows that whatever happens during his life is due to the contamination of the modes of material nature, the living being, the pure soul, has nothing to do with these modes. In the midst of the hurricane of the material world, everything changes very quickly. But if one remains silent and simply observes the actions and reactions of the hurricane, he is understood to be liberated. The real qualification of the liberated soul is that he remains Krishna conscious, undisturbed by the actions and reactions of the material energy. Such a liberated person is always jubilant. He never laments or aspires for anything. Since everything is supplied by the Supreme Lord, the living entity, being fully dependent on him, should not protest or accept anything in terms of his personal sense gratification. Rather, he should receive everything as the mercy of the Lord and remain steady in all circumstances. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyamadi Paschita Deshutarne Om Agyana Timirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tangsajivam Chadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitangsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabhaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhuve Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Ditta Ananda Shedvaita Gadadhar Sivasiti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So literally, that was not a joke. I was not scheduled to give class today, and I guess there was some confusion or somebody didn't show up or whatever. Once Satsuru Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada and he said,
Srila Prabhupada, I'm preparing very diligently to speak in colleges about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back and said, that's very nice, but you should be ready to speak this philosophy at a moment's notice. In other words, it's nice when you have time to prepare, but if you don't, and then Prabhupada also told one of his female disciples who was hesitant to speak on the philosophy, he said that speak according to your realization. It's not that everybody's going to give the same type of class. You speak according to your realization, which also means according to what you appreciate. Whatever you've appreciated and have imbibed in your own life about the Krishna conscious process, then you should be able to speak about it enthusiastically. Right? So if you're a prasadam bhakta, speak about prasadam enthusiastically. If you're a kirtan bhaktin, then speak about that enthusiastically. Whatever you've appreciated. Srila Prabhupada obviously was always ready to speak about Krishna consciousness at any moment, any place, anywhere he was ready. So following in his footsteps, we should try to be like that. And it simply means that one has to meditate on the philosophy. Definitely. As Gopi Puranada Prabhu, we're going to be honoring him on Tuesday night. As he was mentioned, that was found in his room. You have to be the same inside and outside. When you're like that, then it becomes easy to present Krishna consciousness. If we're duplicitous in any way, if we're harboring deep-seated material desires and at the same time we're presenting ourselves as sadhus and saints, then that doesn't work. So it's better to be honest. I am a bhakta in training. I have my faults. I have my faults. But this is what I've appreciated about Krishna consciousness. And when you present it like that, then people appreciate. So, was Srila Prabhupada a liberated person? Yes, obviously. Was he always walking around smiling and grinning from ear to ear? No. So sometimes that's confusing, because it says here a liberated person is happy. And for us, happiness means you go around showing your pearly whites. And a lot of so-called swamis and gurus have come to the West and they've presented themselves like that. So when people run into somebody like Prabhupada, they're confused. Because Prabhupada was very grave. He smiled and he laughed a lot, but most of the times he was very grave. There's that famous incident where he gave a photo of himself to one of his artists to paint. And then periodically he would check with her and said, have you painted? And she said, no. And then Prabhupada finally asked her one time, why didn't you paint it? She said, well, you don't look very happy in that picture. And Prabhupada said, no, you're wrong. I was extremely happy. So you can't judge happiness by the external appearance. That's the point I'm trying to make. In the West, again, we've been deluded into thinking that a happy person is one who smiles all the time and shows the teeth. No. No. Happiness is within. Real happiness is within. When you're in full contact with Krishna, who is a reservoir of pleasure, you're always in happiness. But it's not necessarily shown externally. Because one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is that the devotee is grave. Serious. There's a big problem here in this material world. The whole place is burning down, literally. And so, to save people, one has to be grave. When the firemen come, they're not necessarily grinning from ear to ear. They're telling you, go over there, throw that out, jump. They're very serious, because there's a fire, there's a serious business to take care of. So the pure devotees are like that. When they're in the material world, they're not necessarily walking around smiling at everybody. They're actually sometimes very heavy, like Prabhupada that class yesterday, 1:17. Prabhupada was very heavy. Srimatam Sakatal Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Hridyan Taksto Hibajani. Vidunoti Suritsutam. He was speaking on that verse that for the sincere devotee, Krishna within the heart will give instruction. So Prabhupada was very, very heavy in that class. Extremely heavy. That our disease in this material world is that we remain attached to material sense gratification, chief of which is sex life, which is actually dirty. Prabhupada is very heavy in that lecture. So an ordinary person would think, this is just a bitter old man. He doesn't know what, you know, pleasure there is in this material world. What does he know? You know, I'm going to walk out of here. It happened. Some of his even disciples even have to get initiated, Prabhupada said. Some of them have said to me, Swamiji, you're denying the basic principles of life. You know. So Prabhupada could be very heavy. But that heaviness, again, is for our benefit. It's like when the doctor, when we go with boils from improper diet, from impurities in the body, you have some big boil, and you go to the doctor. The doctor can be very direct and very rough. He just takes the scalpel and stabs it, and when all that impurity comes out, then they wrap the wound and then you get better. If you try to cuddle it and blow on it, and it's not going to get better. If you eat the wrong things out of foolishness, Prabhupada gave the example of one boy. He was head boiled, and his brother, you know, the parents said, don't give him any sweets, but the boy was addicted to sweets, so he asked his brother, please give me something sweet to eat. So the brother broke down and brought him some sweets, which is the worst thing he can do for somebody who has boils, to give them sugar to eat. So he thought he was being nice, but he was actually prolonging his brother's misery. So the pure devotees are like that. They don't want to prolong the misery of material existence, and therefore they're very direct. They're cutting. They cut. That's what the sadhu does. The sadhu cuts through illusion, cuts through our attachments. And it's painful. It's painful. We don't necessarily appreciate if we're not in the right consciousness. So here in this verse it's mentioned again that because of our attachment to these modes of nature, then we remain one who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion, ignorance, are not qualities of the soul, but qualities of material nature. So that's why Krishna goes into elaborate description of the three modes of material nature in the Bhagavad Gita, explaining what are the symptoms of goodness, what are the symptoms of passion, what are the symptoms of ignorance, so that we can recognize them when we see them and desire to overcome them. So, for a person in the mode of ignorance, which means laziness, intoxication, ignorance of what's going on, what happened, what's going to happen, just literally that's what the mode of ignorance is, for such a person, somebody who's in the mode of passion, who's very active, creating things, running here, doing this, it looks like a saintly person. They look like a spiritual person. You know, because you're in ignorance, you can't get it going, you can't do anything right. Practically, every time you turn around, you're getting busted or, you know, like that. So this, for a person in ignorance, a person in the mode of passion looks like a very advanced person. He's running here, doing things, doing that. But if that desire to be active is not guided by higher principles, then it's just like monkey activity, Prabhupada would say. The monkeys are also very active. Those of you who have been to India especially, you know. You go to Vrindavan, they're extremely active, and they're extremely clever. They're extremely clever. I remember going on parikrama, and if you don't guard your shoes every instant, and in a moment, they pick the shoes up, and they know what to do. They get up on a fence or a tree, and they show you your shoe. And the idea is they want to barter. You bring me something edible and I'll give you your shoe back. Very clever, these monkeys. And you better do it. Otherwise, if you don't, then they get angry and they rip the shoe apart right in front of you. I've seen it happen several times. Or you're walking in Lower Bazaar. I was walking with some devotee who was there for the first time. He was visiting a devotee from Miami. Very first time he'd been to India. This was, I think, 95. And I warned him. I said, the monkeys here are very, very clever and they're very active. So we were walking along, he bought some prasadam somewhere, and he was walking along with his bag full of prasadam, just looking at all the shops, and within an instant, this huge monkey jumped off one of the shops, grabbed his bag of prasadam, and was back up, eating, and laughing at him, literally. and also took his glasses. Both! The bag of prasadam and his glasses. So now he had no glasses, he could barely see, he's looking like this. It was so funny. But, so this is activity in the material world. In the material world, especially in Kali Yuga, the mode of passion looks very appealing because people are very active, running here, running there, doing things. Like Prabhupada used to say, the dog runs in four legs and you're running on four wheels and you think you're better. No, it's just the same doggish activities, running back and forth, but eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So for a person in that mode of passion, when they get tired of it, a person who's in the mode of goodness looks like a spiritual person. Mode of goodness. They're very intelligent, they're very much into learning, they're very calm, peaceful, very much into environment, like that. So for a person in mode of passion, who generally speaking, they destroy the environment in the name of economic activity and progress, a person who's in a mode of goodness, who's into saving the whales and saving the trees, and they're very calm, and they like to learn and teach, and a person like that looks like a spiritual being, highly advanced being. But the problem is, as long as we remain within those three modes, there can be no purity, because the modes are always fighting for dominance. So you may be predominantly a mode of goodness person, save the whale, save the trees, like to teach and like that. But if you don't progress to the Shuddha Sattva platform, to the platform of pure goodness, spiritual goodness, then inevitably the mode of passion and ignorance will come knocking. Anybody home? Here's a nice joint. Come and join me. Or there's a party going on. Why don't you come? You know, you're always studying. Stop studying for a minute. Come and hang out with us. And why are you so antisocial? Like that. The mode of ignorance, the mode of passion will come knocking. And inevitably, if you don't have that spiritual foundation, that strength, you're going to succumb. It's just a matter of time. We should not play footsies with Maya. We will always get hurt. It's inevitable. The material nature is way beyond our capacity to deal with. This is the whole illusion that we have, that we can control material nature. We can control what's going to happen. We can't. We have absolutely no control. This is being pounded home again and again. You don't have any control. We don't have any control over our bodily functions. We apparently have control, but in an instant, that control can be taken away. And that eye that you used to blink constantly now remains open and you can't close it, or vice versa. It closes and you can't open it. And people freak out because there is such deep illusion thinking that I'm controlling this body, that when some particular bodily function is taken away, they completely freak out. They're thinking, what's going to happen now? I can't do the things I'd like to do anymore. Whereas the devotees, on the other hand, knowing full well that all bodily functions are controlled by Krishna through the agents of the demigods, it's just Krishna's mercy that I'm able to walk to the temple or use my hands to do anything or use my eyes to see anything. The devotee knows that. And therefore, the devotee always remembers to use all of his sensory functions in the service of the Lord. That is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The devotee knows, these eyes are given to me by Krishna for what purpose? Primarily to look at his beautiful form and to see opportunities for service. That's what the eyes are there for. When one is on a platform, because the seeing, just like the modes of nature, are not actually qualities of the soul, they're qualities of material nature. The soul is separate and pure at every point. Krishna is supremely pure, and his parts and parcels are always pure, always. We should remember that. When we're dealing with somebody who's so molded out that it just drives us crazy dealing with them, we should realize, we should remember, inside that body is a pure spirit soul. It's just a matter of uncovering, and Krishna can uncover that person at any moment. Maya javati kachanam, agyadokshanam, avyayam, nalakshasem urajasha, naatya natero nataha. Queen Kunti prays, second prayer of Queen Kunti's prayers. That she says, you're covered by this curtain of deluding energy. I know that. You're just like an actor playing on a stage, so nobody recognizes you. You know? This is the situation. So we should also recognize, just as we don't recognize Krishna, Krishna could appear before you in so many ways, you don't recognize. Similarly, we don't recognize the pure spirit soul. We're seeing bodies. Black, white, young, old, white, you know, female, male, like that. We're seeing these bodies. We're not seeing the soul. And when that soul leaves, just like our Gopi Prada has left, and because primarily we were associating with him on the bodily platform, remember his bodily mannerisms and all that, but there was a pure soul there, extremely pure. And we will talk about him on Tuesday. When it's amazing, when the devotees leave, then we realize what impact, what impact he had on our lives, even from a distance. You know, we spent some time together in the early days, but then, as you know, time progressed, he was mostly in India and I was mostly here in America. But we stayed in touch through BBT work and stuff, and such a humble soul. Such a humble soul. Such a highly advanced personality, highly advanced in knowledge, but not puffed up. Generally speaking, when we learn something in the material world, we want to show off our knowledge. Oh, I know so much. The person in the mode of passion, they want to not just show off their knowledge, they want to get paid for it. That's why there's so many seminars everywhere you look. Everybody wants to give a seminar and this, a seminar and that, and pay, you know, take payment. But the Vaishnavas are not like that. Whatever they know about Krishna and the process of Krishna consciousness, they want to share with others for the benefit of others, not for their own aggrandizement. So Gopi Prananda was like that. He, at a moment's notice, you could ask him any question about anything, advanced subjects, and he would sit down and just talk. He had a very, very advanced personality, but so humble that most devotees wouldn't recognize. He would, self-deprecating sense of humor, you know, very, very witty, but self-deprecating. He would never make fun of others, just always rather make fun of himself like that. And highly advanced person. Above, obviously, and when we look at his life, above the modes of material nature. He didn't care so much about the externals. You know, he was one of the quintessential mismatched socks Hare Krishnas from the early days. Gopi didn't care about his appearance, but he was totally, totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And therefore it was no accident that he was selected by Krishna to establish that Sanskrit school in Govardhan and train so many young people in Sanskrit. Not just in Sanskrit. See, he was not just a Sanskrit teacher. Not just come to me and I'll teach you Sanskrit. And no. First you had to have the behavior. You had to have the sadhana. Otherwise he wouldn't accept you in his school. You had to take the whole package. Rising early, taking bath, chanting Hare Krishna, going to the whole program. You know, you had to have the perfect sadhana to be a student in the school. And then he would accept you. And then he would teach you finer points of Sanskrit and philosophy like that. But he was so advanced in knowledge. So advanced. Sebastian can tell you. So advanced in knowledge. But so humble. Would never put himself forward and, you know, I know so much, you know, you therefore you should support me and give. No. He would humbly ask. And I'm trying to do this thing here in Govardhan. If somebody would like to give something to help, I would gladly accept like that. Very, very humble person. So this is the soul. This is coming from the spiritual platform. Because the material platform, again, is, you know, to be immediately puffed up. As soon as I learn something, I don't want to give even any credit to those that I learned from. Because anything that we know that's significant in life, beginning with tying your shoelaces, somebody taught you that. You didn't figure it out. Anything that you know that's significant, somebody taught you. So the natural thing is to be thankful, to be grateful, to recognize this person. This person taught me that. This person taught me that, like that. But the material consciousness is no. As soon as I think I know enough, then I want to speculate more and more and more and not give any credit to anybody that taught me anything. Even on the spiritual platform, Prabhupada said, the hallmark of the impersonalist school is that they use the guru as a ladder to get somewhere, and then when they get there, they kick the ladder away. They don't want to give any more credit to the guru. But that's not Vaishnava. Vaishnava mentality is eternally grateful. I'm eternally subordinate to this person. I'm eternally the servant of my spiritual master, predecessor, acharyas. Now, we should recognize, because Prabhupada on one morning walk, he drove home this point. There are two things going on. When a person in a superior position does something for a person in an inferior position, that is not seva. That is daya. That is mercy. That is mercy. When a person in an inferior position does something for a person in a superior position, that is seva. So we should always approach the superiors in this mood of seva, wanting to do some service. And those who are in a lesser position, then we show our mercy. We don't think like that, but whatever you do for a person in a lesser position, that is mercy, that is dhyan. So this is the Vaishnava business, always wanting to do for somebody else. When we do for a superior person, that is seva. When we do for somebody in an inferior position, that is dhyan, that is mercy. So Gopi was like that. He was always in this mood of wanting to serve, wanting to do something. And because he was his superior to almost all of us, if not all of us, then it was his mercy when he would associate with us and give us some instruction. That was mercy. That was mercy. But we don't recognize because, again, we're coming out of the modes of nature, goodness, passion, or ignorance, or generally speaking, a mixture of all three, especially in Kali Yuga. That's what it means, Varna Shankara. We know Varna from Varna and Ashram. Varna means those who are in the mode of goodness, they're the brahmanas, the intellectuals, the heads of society. Those who are in the mode of passion, they're the administrators, the kshatriyas. Those who are in mixed passion and ignorance, they're the vaishyas. And those who are in the mode of ignorance, they're the shudras. So, Varna Shankara means one who is completely mixed up. You can't tell, is this a brahmana, a kshatriya, a vaishya, or what? So this is in Kali Yuga. Everybody, most of all, wants to be the kshatriya in Kali Yuga. Everybody has the Ishvara Bhava. I want to be in control. And if you dare to be in control, they'll constantly tell you what's wrong, what you're doing wrong. But they can't do any better. And this is Kali Yuga. Everybody wants to be in control. And so the Shudras, some or other, by votes, they take control and they make everybody miserable because they don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. All mixed up. So the Krishna consciousness movement, as Prabhupada would say many times, is meant to put a head again on society. In other words, to cultivate, create brahminical tendencies. So that there can be, because if you have a body, very strong, very stout, but the head is not there at all or not in good working order, as we've seen many times, very buff looking people, but they're nuts. And you don't want to deal with them. You can't deal with them because they're totally unreliable. You can't even get them to do some work. You give them a broom and say, sweep. And then you come back and they're sweeping the leaves or something. They can't even do something simple because the head is not in good working order. So that means for our own existence, we should always make sure that the head is in good working order, which means you should always know what to do and what not to do. That's basically what the head is meant for. Discriminating what to do and what not to do. If you can at least do those two things nicely, then we can progress. But if you can't, if at every moment you can't discriminate what to do and what not to do, then you're going to be a pugla. You're going to be spit for the pugla baba ashram, as they say. Sent to the crazy house because you're not useful to society if you don't have the head together. Discriminate what to do and what not to do. Anyway, I've said enough. We can stop here. Any questions, comments? Okay, Gratharashiva Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.